Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the fourth and maybe final Harvest Diary, because as of 7:58 p.m. last night on the 7th of December, we at Rossum Cider and Perry have finished our harvest, which is a massive, massive relief, actually, in the end. That's the biggest feeling, because it's become a bit of a slog. I'm joined by my friend Adam, who you all know well. Adam, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I feel like you're at some kind of great have some great climax, and I'm just continuing to tickle.
Well, you were part of the harvest this year because you gave us your hard toil for several days.
True, my harvest ended quite early though. In mid-October.
Yeah, I mean we pressed some Beauty of Bath on the 9th of August, just as a standalone, very early season eating apple. But we started our Foxwell on the 21st of September. So since then, it's been pretty much non-stop. Apart from, uniquely, this season, there was actually a week. The first week of November, we didn't press anything because there just wasn't anything ready. Normally, by that time, we might be onto our biscay, but they just seemed very early to be doing them. They were still very green. So we left them mostly, I think. I'm looking at my spreadsheet of production. Yeah, we left them. Although, interestingly, their sugar level, we pressed some very green ones on the 27th of October, and the sugar level was identical to what we were pressing 2 weeks later. So the SG didn't change, but definitely the ripeness did. It'd be interesting to compare those in 6 months' time.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, the sugar ripeness and phenolic ripeness, right? So it might be just
absolutely
different in some way there. But I just find it wild how long harvest is. I mean, just funny, just mentioning, that I did a bit this year, and it feels like ages ago. It feels like absolutely ages ago. And it was, I mean, it was what, first week of October. So you're talking 2 months ago. You know, it's a 90-day harvest.
Yes.
Also, not far off.
90 days, and it doesn't slow down, it doesn't stop. You got to keep going. And then it gets faster, actually, because you get onto the dabinet, and then you've really got to work hard to get it done. This year, we pressed somewhere around 16,000 litres of dabinet by itself, just that one apple. So, and we only started those dabs on about the 20th, maybe a little bit earlier. So in 3 weeks, we've done that. So that's decent amongst everything else that was happening at the same time. Yeah. Actually, we had a few dabinets by the 10th. So anyway, it is what it is.
It's funny when you watch the kind of social media of harvest season. And at the start, it's so sunny and you get all the posts like, oh, we're so excited. We've just pressed our first apples of 2023. And then about a month and a half in, you're kind of coming up to November and the rain has started and the cold has started, and you just see the posts get sort of slightly more and more grey-faced and desperate. And then, you must be thrilled to have done another one.
Yeah, it is brilliant. It's always, when you finally get to finish it, it's massive. But there's definitely true that it starts. Yesterday or the day before, I was thinking and I was imagining. I was, because people were talking about cider in comparison to other drinks again, and I was thinking how easy it is. Before I get to that, before I start complaining, I want to say that I've kind of had these moments of euphoria for the last couple of weeks, where if you say the statement, "I work with fruit," or "my job is fruit," or "my income derives from fruit," any kind of variant of that, it's just, to me, it just makes me kind of giggle, because it's such an amazing privileged thing to be able to say, and that I work with fruit, because fruit, the word fruit is gives you a good feeling, doesn't it, right? We hold fruit so highly, we treasure it, we know that it's healthy, we know that it's sweet, that it's tasty, we know that fruit's special. And so to, step back from the misery of staring at the apples in there with the leaves and the mud and the cold and the stretch, the aching muscles, and you just think, I'm working with fruit. That has given me a real pleasure in the last 2 weeks. That's helped me get over the line. And then I was thinking about other booze industries and thinking how sad it is for all the poor brewers who just order in their ingredients. You know, they have this fancy modern life in the city, in the industrial estate, doing edgy things, making weird beers, and it's very cool, but they're just ordering in ingredients. It's not working with fruit. And then the winemakers.
That's the other harvest that I kind of have. Well, I have my eye on three harvests.
Yeah.
I have my eye on the cider and perry harvest, but I also, slightly earlier in the year, really, get updates on like what the harvest is like for the farms that the barley farms that we work with at Waterford.
And then obviously,
I see the kind of sugarcane harvest all through the year from Grenada, but that is just continual. Because the, you know, seasons are different when you're that close to the equator. But it is interesting to like just compare and think of all of the kind of differences. Because especially, you know, as you say, if you're you know, there are some brewers I know who are very, very few, but there are some who are kind of working with like individual farms and doing all that sort of thing. But you know, on the whole, like I guess it's difficult in a way to be connected to the ingredient quite so much, and especially if you're you know, if you're ordering it in, you know, and it's more about kind of method and process and so forth. But it is really nice to kind of, you know, it's obviously really hard for you, but it's really nice to see something that's gone from like the from
flowers in the spring to now there's a hell of a lot of juice sat in our barn fermenting. Mm. And then 6 months time you drink it and it makes you feel good, it makes you laugh, and makes you want to dance. And this, I mean, that's just wow, brilliant. What a thing to be able to do. I love
and
it.
What's this year been like compared to others? Because how many full harvest seasons have you done at Ross now?
I think eight. So I did the 2015 one when I finished uni and came here, but then I went away to do a master's, but then I came back in 17. So it's 15, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. So it's eight. They've all changed. Because in the, you know, the biggest change was up until 2019, we didn't make that much. And actually, four of them we haven't made that much. Four of them we have made, because as some people know, some people won't, our farm got into apples and cider because we sold the apples to Bulmers, which is now a brand that's owned by Heineken. And in 2017, that was the last harvest that Heineken bought our apples. So from that point on, we were kind of under our own steam, having to make more cider to make up for that loss of income from the fruit, because at that time we were only using 20% of our apples. But it took us a while to get going. So 2018 wasn't that different than normal, but then 2019 was a bit of a jump up that then came back down for COVID. Then 2021 came about, and that year we installed our belt press, which dramatically changed harvest for us. Although we kept on using our hydros until last year, and now this year everything was on the belt press. And I've been thinking about the kind of differences in year to year recently a lot as well, because of exactly that thing of the cider maker, how their tone and their social media posts change through the harvest. And the thing that really stuck out to me this year was at the beginning, or in the middle of the end of September, everyone just saying to each other, oh my God, it's so early. It's so early, isn't it? Oh, it's so early. And then actually, when I went back and looked at the data, it wasn't early. It was normal. But you have the same thing every year. We always are like, oh my God, we're in such a rush. The fruit is ready. We're in such a rush. It happens every single year. And then you get going and you're fine. And then you start to get a bit tired. And then the dampness come and it's great. But then it starts to get really, really hard because it's wet and cold and you're miserable. And that happens every year as well. But we still didn't see it coming. We're thinking everything's great. So I thought we would be finished 8 days ago. I thought we would have finished on the 1st of December. But what happened in the last 6 days? Literally endless rain. Consequence of the endless rain is that one of our tractors is no longer suitable for pulling the trailers because the four-wheel drive on it's broken. So it can't drive through an orchard. And the other consequence is that we then can't drive the harvester into one of the orchards because the harvester can't get in the orchard either. So we only able to press about, well, probably two-thirds of our chiseled jersey because the rest are locked behind a mud bath. The blower broke because, funnily enough, if you go to university and do politics, nobody teaches you to check that your machinery is fully greased before you use it. So I broke the blower, which was a bummer. And with the blower is to knock the leaves out of the way and also knock the apples out from under the trees. So with that not there, it slowed us down because we were sorting dirtier fruit. Then because the ground is so wet and horrible, the tire on the harvester broke. So we lost an entire, pretty much a whole day to that being broken. And then we also had to slightly delay filling our tank because we realized that the hose tails we'd ordered came without seals and we hadn't looked at them before because we're not used to doing that. So it's just all these things that slow you down. But it's the same every year. Last year, we were doing fine and then the temperature dropped and then we kind of had the end of harvest ruined. And I saw, was it poor old Dorset Nectar that I shared? There, she was literally underwater because it's been so wet.
Yeah,
and this,
yeah,
this shit happens every year. Ridiculous. But cider makers always forget because it's such a long season. Because how can you remember what happens for 3 months at a time? Like, I don't even remember what I was doing in May. So why would I remember next October what was going on this October? And that's why you've got to take big notes. But it's hard to do notes when you've got gloves on 9 hours a day plunging into water.
And what's the what is the kind of juice looking like and the fermentations? How I guess because I mean, you know, 3 months, loads of the stuff that you first pressed will be well on the way by now, I'd have thought. And secondly, like what has like sugars and ripenesses and stuff and flavors been like?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in general the fruit's been great. It's very early to make a lot of comments on a lot of things, but in general, it's all been really nice. And sugar has been down on last year, but not dramatically so. Foxwelp, a C1 in 75 CR last year was from a Foxwelp that was found 68. That was the best Foxwelp last year. But actually, the average last year was probably 1,058 to 1,060. And this year, our Foxwelp was 1,054 to 1,056. So it's a marginal difference. It's still grown really well. And actually, there was one that we put into oak, which we've recorded at 1,057. So that could be very nice. Some of that fox hop has finished. The early season stuff, as you alluded to, has finished. And it tasted nice, but they're still very, very yeasty. So, you know, we've done this experiment this year where we've pressed Thorn from 5 different sites. And we were tasting them maybe a week ago, maybe 10 days ago, to see if we wanted to do something early with them before Christmas. But even the ones that have kind of got a little bit less sugar than the others, they're so yeasty that they're a long way off. I had Marshall, an American guy, help us out on a couple of days this year, and we tried a few things. The one that we both really enjoyed was our Kingston Black this year. The juice was tasting really nice, probably a third of the way through fermentation, and a lot of depth of flavor coming through it, which is fantastic. Then the Dabernet, which we've done a lot of, and Biscay. We did as much Biscay as we could manage, but it's still probably nowhere near as much as I'd like in an ideal world. Just because it's where our Biscay grows is it's in a very steep orchard. So once it's wet, the harvester can't do it, and the rain has just been relentless. There was 1 week without rain in all of November to December. Now I think it's something like that. But Dabernet sugars are decent. Last year they were. Last year they were sort of around 64 to 67, and this year we're looking at about 56 to the highest we're at 60. So they're down about 10%, but that's actually fine because, you know, the market for people drinking 8.5 and above cider is quite small, so it's slower to sell. So I think all cider makers are kind of relieved that our sugars are kind of reasonable. And once the initial, oh, damn, it's gone down, excitement goes away, or sadness goes away, you start to think, oh, actually, no, this is probably, in the grand scheme of things, better. And there's also the fact that, you know, when the stuff is more alcoholic, I can't remember who was saying it to me recently, but that it needs a little bit longer to cool down was the language they were using, which I thought was a really good way to put it, which is that, like, the Dabernets from 2022... they're massive, and they're still massive now because the sugar is so high and the intensity of flavor is so high, and actually it's easier to make cider with stuff that's not quite so wild.
Yeah, I remember the 2018 like obviously for certainly for you, my kind of bellwether is raison d'être, and like the 2018 was amazing, but it was still like huge for a long time. I mean, it's still huge now, but it was huge in every sense when like for a long time afterwards. In 2022, I guess, is gonna be similar. But yeah, well, that's the joy of vintage, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So
I think the only point of disappointment this year a little bit was that we didn't quite make as much perry as last year, and from not quite as many varieties, and the sugars in the pears were pretty poor generally this year. Which is, interesting that the apples kind of recovered with the bad weather, but the pears didn't quite so much, and that so they're all down quite a lot. And we actually pressed some almost certainly the low point of the season was pressing the filthiest machine harvested gin that I've ever seen. And then halfway through pressing them, John was like, "Oh, it's only 1,033. I didn't want to tell you." So it's like potential alcohol is only 4%. So it's very, very low, almost worryingly low. But we'll just see.
If that's the low point, what would you say was the high point?
The high point was probably, I mean, there's been a lot. And I'm going to fill in Jack's harvest survey soon, and it's going to be a lot. And I might even write a very long blog post about everything. I'm very tempted to, but we'll actually do it. So I'd say three high points were the first day that we pressed more than 5,000 liters. Did that twice this year, which has never been done in the history of the farm. So amazing feeling of satisfaction finishing that. The high point, part one, another high point was the day Jack himself brought these barrels from Arran and Lag to the farm, a really gorgeous oak barrels. So this year we've gone back up to 28 oak barrels that we're using, which is super exciting. Some really, really exciting ciders in them, even a Perry in one of them, lots of different varieties in the barrels. So hopefully that's gonna give us some really nice ciders next spring. And then the other one is just making cider from so many new varieties for the first time. Single variety Porter's Perfection for the first time. Single variety Chisel Jersey for the first time. Loads. We're probably going to have between, I don't know, 15 and 20 new varieties that we'll be able to release next year that we've never made before, which is, when you've been making single varieties as a focus for as long as we have, it's really exhilarating to get more.
Still have some new ones. Yeah. Well, I
Yeah.
mean, that sounds really good. The I guess harvest reports now are over, and you probably don't want immediately to think about all the stuff that comes next. But what it, and I like to make jokes anyway that you get 9 months holiday now, but what are like the next steps as the vintage cycle kind of recommences for you now in terms of?
Well, our well, first of all, I need to send an email to businesses in Manchester to let them know that I'm delivering next week. Hopefully they'll order some cider. But our big thing for the next 2 weeks is that I've got about 2,500 bottles that need disgorging, which is a miserable looking task because disgorging is so difficult, it's so time consuming. And then as soon as the weather gets drier, we'll be looking to start pruning, and we'll be pruning as much as we can through the rest of the winter, all the way through until you can't prune anymore. And if you can't prune anymore, that generally means it's time to start our top working project up again. So we'll be finishing some rows for varieties we've already introduced, and also looking for new varieties that might be worth doing. But next step, next big things is disgorging and then pruning. And then once it gets warm again, we'll be bottling.
Brilliant.
Well, and actually, there'll be racking, obviously, as well. So racking is when your cider is fermenting or fermented, and different people do it at different times. Because we have more than 175 different barrels of cider and perry, we just work through them one by one until it's done. And with that quantity of stuff, we can't turn around and say, "Well, we're racking this one because we want it to be semi-sweet." We just try and get through it. And so that's John's job, and he does it very, very well every year.
But you can maybe take this weekend off.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe this weekend.
Well, really well done. It's an amazing harvest. Like, and it sounds like, it's not necessarily, well, as you say, they're never easy, but it certainly sounds like you've had a lot to get through this year. And so, yeah, really well done. It's always very, Justin and I were talking the other day. It's always very awe-inspiring, as much as we like to joke about toil, and as much as we like to be kind of karaoke toilers who come up and do like 4 days. It's yeah, amazing to see people like you who have gone through a whole 3 months of it. And I'm looking forward to the ciders that we'll taste as a result.
Yeah, thank you, Adam. Thanks, everybody.